That's the alcoholic.
That's me.
I'm nervous. I know I just did this a few months ago, but I feel a little more nervous tonight. Probably because I knew about it all day, half the day. Last time it was like, you're going to speak. I'm Betsy and I am an alcoholic. I have a home group. This is my home group. I have a sobriety date of March 31st, 2023. It's not my first sobriety date, but it's the one that I've been most willing to do whatever it takes to stay sober. You know, and it was told to me, because I'm like willing to do anything, because if you come at me like a Sunday morning meeting at 5 a.m., no, I'm not really willing to do that, you know? And she said, are you willing to do the work? You know, are you willing to do the work? Are you willing to look at yourself? Are you willing to make those amends? Are you willing to do whatever it takes to stay sober? And I said, yeah, I am. And I grew up here in Palmdale. East Side, Palmdale. These are my stomping grounds, you know. And it was a stretch to get me anywhere out of Palmdale. Like Lancaster was a stretch, you know. And I was a very uncomfortable child, you know. I think that I needed a drink long before I ever knew what a drink was, you know. I was uncomfortable in my own skin. My brothers knew it. My parents knew it. My grandparents knew it. The teachers sure frickin' knew it, you know. I think when I don't remember my first drink, but I think when I took the first drink, it made it bearable for me to be me, to live with me, you know. I was never happy, and once I took that first drink, I like substances too. I like anything that takes me out of me, anything where I don't have to be Betsy. That's where I need to be. That's where I want to be, and I ripped and roared for many, many years, you know. The darker the place, the dingier the place, the more Betsy liked it, you know. That was my gig. I gave everything away for it, or it took everything from me, you know. There was no stone that I hadn't rolled over, you know. I lost my kids to the system. I ended up going to prison a few times. I ended up in a hospital bed, you know, with tubes coming out of everywhere, and I remember, because I'd been in some really weird places before, and I remember waking up and there was like tubes everywhere. Like I had a tube in my throat, and there was bags hanging, and they told me I needed an alcohol program, that my lifestyle was killing me, and you need an alcohol program, a live-in alcohol program. And I thought, who are they talking to? Like, they can't be talking to me, because I don't have a problem, you know? And that was, like, my first introduction into Alcoholics Anonymous, you know? And I didn't stick around that. I'm really nervous right now. That was my first introduction to Alcoholics Anonymous, you know. I wasn't willing to do anything then, or I shouldn't say anything, but I was willing to scratch the surface a little bit, you know what I mean? There were some things I wasn't going to tell anybody, you know. There were some financial amends. I surely wasn't going to make those, you know, because it was insurance companies or Walmart or, you know, stuff like that. Bottom line is I just wasn't willing to do the work, you know. And I came in and I would go to meetings. I've had some good sponsors along the way, like solid sponsorship along the way, but I just wasn't honest, you know. And I guess I'm saying these things so if you're new, you know, there's some things that we have to do around here, you know. And number one is getting honest, you know. I kind of knew I had a problem, but I always thought that I could handle it, you know. I always thought that I could just come in and kind of do flimsy work, kind of just sit in the back, kind of like call my sponsor every other week, or just write down a list real fast, you know, whatever I think she might want to hear, or, you know, stuff like that. I wasn't willing to get down to the nitty gritty, and I paid the price for that. You know, I paid the price. I wasn't able to stay sober, you know, when life came at me. And I got to this place too, my poor children, because I wasn't going to meetings and I wasn't doing any work on myself. And I think I did more damage in my household stone cold sober than I ever did when I was drinking, you know, because I was angry, I was bitter, I was not afraid to snatch one of my kids up, you know what I mean? And that's my truth. That's how I get, you know? I had no program and no drink, and that's an ugly place to be. That's a dark place to be. And so if you're sitting in that place, like I didn't, I feel I didn't have a choice. Like it was either go to AA and get sober. Well, no, that's not really what I want to do. Or I have to pick up a drink, you know, because I'm so uncomfortable in my own skin. And you know, I floated in and out of AA for, I don't know, 13 years, you know. 13 years I came in and out. And I share this story a lot because this is what brought me in to Alcoholics Anonymous this time, you know. And I had told myself, this is it, Betsy. Like, this is it. Like, you can't stop, you know. I got to a place where I really wanted to stop. I don't know if anybody's been there, where you really, really, really want to stop and you can't. You know, that's a scary place to be for an alcoholic, for me. But I had to get there to take me where I'm at right now. But I was sitting in my room, and my sponsor had moved to Tennessee. Convenient, right? Yeah, real convenient. Then I could really lie, manipulate, you know, not pick up the phone, just send a text, you know. And I was sitting on my bed, and I get this text message, and I had told myself that I was just going to die like that. I can't stop, so I'm just going to die like that. Like I had told myself, this is just the way that your life is supposed to be, you know. And I was sitting on my bed, and I got a text message from somebody, and she said, simply, are you sober? And I looked at that frickin' phone, and I started crying and bawling, and I thought to myself, if I lie now, you probably are going to die in this room. You know, because I'll kill myself slowly in my bedroom. Like, there's no friends, really. Like, I'm real comfortable drinking by myself. Like, that is the perfect place for me, you know, in my room, on my bed, by myself. And I told myself, if you lie now, Betsy, you really are going to die. And so I said, no, I'm not sober, and don't you call me. You're the last person I want to talk to. And she said, okay. But that was like the beginning of the end, you know. Maybe like a week later, I woke up and I was so, so sick. Like I called, Michelle remembers, I was in tears. I was so physically sick. I was blowing my stomach out. And I was dizzy, and I drove myself to the emergency room. And I didn't lie to the doctor. The doctor asked me what I was doing. He said, I know your stomach's bleeding, and you're going to get really, this is bad now, but guess what? It's going to get a lot worse, and you're going to die. And I told him exactly what was going on. And he said, I want to admit you and give you a blood transfusion, but I think we can, you know, cure it through medicine. And I went home, and I called Christina. I sent a text, I think, right? Because I don't want to call anybody. I want to freaking hide behind those text messages. And I texted you, and I met you at the High Desert Big Book group. And I am so, so grateful that everything I went through has led me right to where I am today, you know? And even when I don't want to do something, because I'm not the perfect student, it's not like, okay, go home and do this and that. And I'm like, okay, yeah, I'm going to go home and do that. That's not my story, you know what I mean? But I do it, and I've looked at myself, and I had an incredible experience with step number 3. And I am more than willing to do whatever it takes to stay sober today. And I mean, my list of financial amends is like frickin' this big. And it's not $100. It's thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars that I owe institutions, parents, you know. But I was just, and I'm going to share this and then I'll shut up. But, you know, when I did my fifth step, and this is important for me, and maybe it will help somebody out there, but when I did my fifth step, and you go home and you have to think about it for an hour and review everything and see if you've left anything out, you know, and there was two things that I had left out, and I had always left those two things out. And I remember laying on my bed and thinking, how bad do you really want to stay sober? Do you want to roll the dice with this, Betsy? You know how our head is, you know, and because this just might be it. It may not be that financial amends. It may be that. Do you really want to keep this a secret? You better tell somebody, you know? And I thought, you're right, I should tell somebody. And I immediately called Christina, and I told her those two things that I wasn't going to tell anybody. Nobody was going to know those two things ever. And I thought, and that's when I knew that I had turned the corner, you know, that I became willing to do whatever it takes to stay sober. And I am grateful and welcome to anybody that's newer than me. I hope you come in. I hope you sit all the way down in Alcoholics Anonymous, find a sponsor, you know, and just do the work. Do whatever it takes to stay sober. That's it. Thanks.